comes the boom.
Welcome to the Morning Mix with 5th Fleet CMC Christopher King. We bring it to you straight and discuss the street level day-to-day around the U.S. 5th Fleet Naval Forces Central Command. Let's take another expeditionary deep dive into the 5th Fleet mindset.
It's always good to know that others are working really hard to have professional development and to improve themselves and to improve others.
I enjoy, you know, teaching, and I love what I do.
What exactly is Ramadan? It affects us very heavily here on base, and especially off base.
I call Ramadan, it is like a training course. He has to change his character, to improve his character. And that is one of the aims of Ramadan, not to be starving and that's it, you know. So you can develop your character during Ramadan.
This is Petty Officer Nye with AFN Bahrain. We're firing off another Morning Mix from Studio 256. I'm here with the star of the show, U.S. 5th Fleet Command Master Chief King, and special guest, Dr. Afifi from the Fleet and Family Support Center, along with YN2 Reed. Dr. Afifi, YN2, great to have you on the show. CMC, what is our plan of action here this morning?
Well, MC2, I think we're going to talk a lot about Ramadan, and we're going to talk about Dr. Afifi and maybe what brought him here. We're going to look at some things from YN2's standpoint, for how long he's been here and some of his perspective. So really looking forward to the show and so glad that our guests are here today. It's good to have you both.
Dr. Afifi, share a little bit about your background, what brought you here into Bahrain, and some of the work that you're doing with Fleet and Family Support Center.
Originally, I'm a teacher. I'm specialized in teaching the language and the culture. I retired from the Ministry of Education in 2017 as a principal, as a school principal of a public school. And at the same time, I used to visit the American Embassy and teach the American ambassadors the language. Every American ambassador who comes to Bahrain, I used to go and teach him the language. And at the same time, I used to come and work in Fleet and Family as a part-time, teaching the language and the culture. The fourth job was working with the University of Maryland, and I'm still working with them, again, teaching the same thing, the Arabic language and the culture. I enjoy, you know, teaching, and I love what I do. Awesome. I got my PhD, it helps a lot to develop, you know, that is like professional development, developing myself. I used to read a lot and improve, you know, my abilities and skills. So I said, why I didn't, you know, instead of only reading and writing articles, what about if I get, you know, a master's degree? Then I planned for the PhD. And that is simply, that's why, you know, I'm here with you and sharing my knowledge with you.
Wow, Dr. Afifi, what a background, really a wealth of knowledge that you bring into the table here. It's so great to have you here to discuss some of the local cultures and traditions in Bahrain. What are some of the typical activities that you go through during a regular workday in your office?
Frankly, it differs from one season to another. Like nowadays, we have many Ramadan, you know, briefs. So we are so busy, and most of the commands, they need us to go and teach there. Although we have many briefs at the chapel, but people ask us to go for their commands as well. So in general, in the morning, I read my emails and starting teaching. So we used to have classes, you know, in different days, you know. So if I have, you know, a class about the customs, Arabic customs and traditions, one is about, for example, you know, rules of etiquette in the Arab world. So I add more and write, you know, something about men and women in Islam, you know, another topic. So I add, you know, I renew my topics and at the same time upgrading them. So most of the time, you know, I read my emails. At the same time, I read books and, improve my abilities and skills.
AFN The Eagle. Who the heck did you think you were listening to? Serving America's best.
It's always good to know that others are working really hard to have professional development and to improve themselves and to improve others. So thank you so much for that, Dr. Afifi. I was going to ask Wyan too, have you ever had the opportunity to take any of the classes that's been offered by Fleet and Family?
Yes, I've actually attended several of the classes, although I think maybe I could always be enlightened more about the culture itself. I have more questions for Dr. Afifi. What exactly is Ramadan? It affects us very heavily here on base, and especially off base.
Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. It indicates when the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. It is one of the five pillars of Islam. And it, of course, it is the month of fasting. That is Ramadan briefly.
Okay, I always hear about the fasting. Can you go a little deeper into what fasting is? Is it just that we cannot eat outside?
For Muslims, fasting means abstaining from eating, drinking, and having any intimate activity from dawn time till dusk time. That is for the Muslims, okay? Mm. Not for non-Muslims. But that is what? That is the religion. The religion says that, and the religion addresses its believers. But on base here, as the ambassadors of USA in Bahrain, and to respect the host nation, we give the briefs, and we always tell people that the briefs are not intended to be religious and or ritual briefs. They are cultural beliefs to make people aware of the month of Ramadan. For us here on base, people are supposed to, again, to break the fasting at any time on base. But off base, people have to abstain from eating, drinking, and drinking, smoking, and chewing gum in public. That is the civil law of Bahrain, and we have to respect that. Like when I go to a command and a command says, oh, sir, do you have a cell phone? I say, yes, please, we cannot come in with your cell phone. Keep it out. I have to respect the command. I should not say, I am a BG or I'm not American. They are dealing with me like that. No, that is a matter of respect. That is following the rules. Again, that is the civil law of Bahrain. And this applies for citizens, for visitors, for Muslims and Muslims. It applies for everyone. And that is the law. And we have to respect the law. So we have to differentiate between two things, between the religion and the civil law. Mm-hmm. So the religion, it doesn't say that the Christian has to fast in public. But the law of Bahrain says like that, and we have to respect that. So you have to find out, by the way, if you are traveling to a country, that, can I eat in public there or not? So you have to find out for that. So those are the main two things that we have, on base and off base. Briefly, on base, follow your own routine, eat, drink, do whatever you like. Your lunch time is at 11:30, 12 o'clock. Go, do whatever you like. Your normal day is the same. But off base, you have to take care of that and follow the rules, because if you eat in public, there is a fine for that, which is around 100 BD, around $265. Yeah. So please, take care of that.
The other thing I heard you say is about chewing gum, right? No chewing gum.
Yes, you're right. Anything which goes through your mouth, okay, and people can see you, eating, chewing gum, people don't know that you have a gum inside, So it is a matter of, respecting the host nation.
Maximum music.
I love it when you guys play Fuel, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Black Eyed Peas.
Minimum repeats.
80s music. I love listening to The Cars, Modern Ingress.
AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
Let's dig in a little bit more with these important cultural impacts that we have here in Bahrain, and how service members and families can interact with some of the locals and get to better understand some of these cultural impacts. So, Dr. Afifi, are there any misconceptions about Ramadan? What types of things should we be aware of as service members?
First of all, I like that question. Do you know why? Because I've been giving the brief when I created this brief, 24 years ago. I used to teach, and after the brief, people used to ask me. So what happened is that finally, I put the questions of our people here, I put them in slides, I put the question and the answer, and I saw that the brief was successful. I continued with the brief with this way. I did not put that question in my brief. So every time I finish the brief, I find that there is no question. So I said, yes, I'm successful in doing that. Not like before, people stop me and ask me questions. But I'm happy with this question because I'm going to add it to my slides, by the way. Because, this is the first time someone asked me about this. In the mentality of people, the misconception comes. And they say, okay, so the Muslim during Ramadan, he has to stop cheating, maybe he's drinking alcohol, committing adultery. He has to stop all of those things in Ramadan. And after Ramadan, he can start again, Of course not. That is one of the misconceptions. I call Ramadan, it is like a training course. He has to change his character to improve his character. And that is one of the aims of Ramadan, not to be starving and that's it, you know. So you can develop your character during Ramadan to stop all of those things. So that is one of the misconceptions that people think that in Ramadan you stop the bad deeds and after Ramadan you go back to the bad deeds. No, Ramadan is a training course that, you know, you train yourself to stop all bad deeds.
So Dr. Fifi, so that's almost like a reset for the person. They come and they kind of reset their everything into Ramadan, and then they continue that those behaviors after Ramadan as well.
You are right, you know, and but there is something for what you have said, your sentence, you know. Mm-hmm. I always learn from the people that I speak with. So I learned from you today this word, reset. I'm going to use this word, you know, that Ramadan is like, you know, that is to reset, you know. So I'm going to use that word as well. Yes, thank you. Yes, you are right. Sure. You are right, yes. And again, you have more, you know, misconceptions about Ramadan. What happens is that anyone should go to bed at 9 o'clock in the evening, 10, 11.
I think maybe 10 o'clock, sir. Yeah, 2200 is when.
2200, you know, 2300 maximum. But people know, stay awake, not only 2200 or, you know, they stay awake for longer hours. And by the way, there is a meal to start fasting. Before start fasting, there is a meal which is called suhoor. So this meal should start before dawn time, okay? Because you cannot eat after dawn time. So people stay awake till that time, you know, still awake. So he has only 2 hours after eating. He has only 2 hours to go to bed and then go to work. So what happens if someone sleeps only for 2, 3, 4 hours? He's going to start his day and he's lazy and sleepy. So it is not the problem of the religion, it is the problem of the person's behavior.
AFM The Eagle. Don't like it? Try it with ketchup. Serving America's best.
Dr. Fifi, is there any particular food they like to eat at that late meal? Is there a specific types of food they like to enjoy during
that time? You know,
the
word suhoor is like, you know, the breakfast. So the main two meals are, number one, suhoor, and people take it before they start, you know, before dawn time, to start before start fasting. And the other one is called iftar, and that is at around nowadays around 5:34, and that is to break the fast, okay? So suhoor is like breakfast. So people eat, you know, during that time, they take the food that they can take, instead of taking the breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8, 9, they take it early before dawn time. So the same type of food that people used to eat during breakfast, like what? Like, you know, cheese, you know, eggs, you know, simple things. Mm. But for iftar time, which is around 5:30, that is considered like lunch time. So they eat, you know, the main dishes, okay? Rice, meat, chicken, everything. Yeah. So that is, yeah, that is, so put in mind the normal meals that we have, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So the breakfast, the food that we eat during the breakfast, all of us, is the same for suhoor, before starting fasting. And the food that we used to eat for lunchtime, it is the one that we people eat during iftar time.
Okay, so we're learning a little bit about the meals and the timing of the meals. We're going to get into a little bit about how do we know when does Ramadan start, right? So we're going to take another music break and we'll get back into it.
The choice for all generations. AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
So we've learned a little bit about some of the meals during Ramadan, the cultural importance, and some of the things that we abstain from as well, whether if it's chewing gum during the daytime or eating and drinking off base, those types of things. But how do we know when Ramadan starts? What are those signals or those markers that we can be aware of the timing of Ramadan?
This year, Ramadan is going to start on the 11th of March. So it is coming in a few days. And last year, it was different. Next year, it is different. But simply, the Muslims, they follow the lunar calendar. And the lunar calendar is 10 to 11 days shorter than the Gregorian calendar. So if Ramadan this month is going to be on the 11th of March, so next year is going to be on the 1st of March or end of February. And after that, it will move three times in February. Then it will move to January, then to December. This allows the Muslim to fast in different seasons, in winter time and summer time. You know about the day of winter, it is shorter, so the hours of fasting are going to be shorter. Again, the heat in some countries, like in the Gulf here, people cannot fast if Ramadan is always in summertime, so the seasons change.
Got it. So we're using the moon, the lunar calendar,
yes,
to determine.
Yes, we use the lunar calendar. Yes.
When this day starts.
Yes.
Excellent.
And if you need more details about the lunar calendar, you know, you're welcome.
You've got courses, right? We've got all types of classes that you offer, everything from Arabic language to some of those other intercultural courses as well. Talk a little bit about some of the importance that these educational and cultural classes that you offer here at NSA Bahrain and through Fleet and Family, and when do they happen? When do you have those scheduled?
Every month we have a new calendar. And in our calendar, we have many classes, but concerning the ICR, intercultural relations specialists, we have the Arabic language and we have Arabic customs and traditions. So for the Arabic language, we have classes to teach the person, the beginners, the Arabic language, how to greet someone, how to introduce yourself, how to count, how to write your name, to know the days of the week, all of those things to be able to communicate with people, by using the common phrases that are going to be useful to communicate with people. So mainly that is, that. But we found in Fleet and Family that sometimes some people come and already they know Arabic and they would like to improve their language. Sometimes we find some people that after offering the classes, they would like to continue. So we always look at the evaluation sheets and improve ourselves from the point of view of the clients. So what happens is people ask for more classes. So we added more classes. And instead of having, we have a class which is called Common Arabic and another class which is called Arabic Language. And both are for beginners, but, they are in different timings. One is in the morning and one is in the afternoon. So we added extra classes and it is called Arabic Language 2. And we have more learners, we call it Arabic Language 3. And I took the idea from, the University of Maryland. When I go and teach there, we have Arabic language 1, Arabic language 2. We have Arabic 111, Arabic 112, 113. So why not? We can do this for our people in Fleet and Family, and they can utilize my time and know about this. Again, with the University of Maryland, I teach for 48 hours a course about Middle Eastern cultures. And there are more courses about that. So what happens is I take a topic and talk for 1 hour about the topic. For customs, Arabic customs and traditions, for example, Ramadan is coming. So there is, 1 hour talking about Ramadan. People are interested in buying gold. So there is 1 hour to talk about gold, how to purchase gold. At the same time, we take them out to purchase, gold. The classes for the culture are different. For example, there is pilgrimage is coming. It is the last month of the Islamic lunar calendar, so there is a brief about that. Some people are interested to know more about, the relationship between men and women in this society. Rules of etiquette, how can we deal with people here? This is considered rude for me, but for you it is not. So the opposite. So I teach people all of those things about, rules of etiquette.
AFM The Eagle, the only radio network big enough to kick butt and take names. Serving America's best.
I remember during one of your classes, might even be during the INDOC, you bring up the idea of inviting someone to a meal and who's paying for that. If you invite someone out, that you're the one that's kind of taking care of the cost of the meal.
Yes, yes. I mentioned that, yes, in one of my briefs that, that in American culture, when you ask someone and invite someone for going out for lunch or, it means that everyone is going to pay from his pocket for himself, for his meal. In our society, if you invite someone, it means that you are going to pay for his meal or her meal. So that is the completely the opposite. And I said, I had the culture shock when I came to the base here because the base is like one of the, states, 50 states. So I consider it, So when I came here 24 years ago and worked with Fleet and Family Support Center, someone invited me for her birthday, for coworkers, all of us could go. So I went there, and it was expensive, and I found that I have to pay for myself. So that was the culture shock, you know, yes. Because again, you know, we teach you the culture shock, and it happened for me to learn, you know, your culture. But the culture is changing, by the way. But step by step, I found only 7 years ago that the culture is changing. But of course, no, longer than that, when my child, when he was 17, I heard him calling his friend and asking him to go out. Then his friend agreed. After that, he asked him to call another person, to be three of them to go out. And he said, okay, let us go, three of us. Then my son said, oh, but take care, American culture, you know, American way. Everyone should pay for himself, okay? And his friend said, okay, you know. So the culture is changing, yes.
So they enjoyed having the American side where each person keeps more of their money for themselves.
Yes, that's right. That's right, you know. And by the way, you know, many people do like that nowadays, you know, like, you know, when my wife goes out with her friends, they share, you know, not everyone pays for herself, you know, or, you know, they share the paying. They share their plates and they share paying together. So the culture is changing. And there are many things to mention, but because of the time, you know, that is a good example that you have mentioned. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Fivi, that's all great to know. And I think I've learned a lot today, too, and I hope everybody here has. I know Y2 probably has. I saw him shaking his head a little bit. So I don't know, Y2, what have you learned today? What's been the most fascinating thing that he's kind of brought up?
I think the difference in culture, the most recent topic, is actually one of the biggest things. I wasn't aware that if I invited somebody out that I would have to be paying, at least in the culture here. I'm always used to our culture where everybody's kind of paying for themselves, and you're not worried about, oh, well, this guy's, he might be buying a little too much. Like, that's like his third plate. I don't have to worry about that. So it's very good to know. It's very interesting. I never heard of that concept, actually.
Yeah, and come to the classes, you will learn more. There are many things to talk about.
And so you heard it right here, folks. You can go to get these classes. You learn who you have to pay for and who you don't, as well as languages, Ramadan, and all other fascinating topics.
AFM The Eagle. We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. Serving America's best.
Well, we have hit upon a lot of topics here today, all types of cultural impacts that happen out here in Bahrain. And, you know, as a service member, we've got a lot of different ways that we can make an impact in someone's life. Today, it's all about how to set a good example. Our question of the day is, you know, how do you set a good example? We've already got some people answering online, but for all of you here, Dr. Fifi, like, what are some ways that you are able to set a good example for other people?
The first thing is the choice of friends. Once you choose someone, you know, when you choose friends around you and their behavior is not good, so again, you cannot find a good example among them. So from the beginning, since your childhood, you know, my dad was a good example for me, and he was my model. So he used to work hard. That's why I told you that I had different jobs on the same day. My dad is the same, so I did the same thing. He was trying, you know, most of his days to improve himself and following professional development. So I am the same. You know, following the professional developments to utilize his abilities and serve people and help them. So I'm doing the same.
YN2, how do you set a good example for others?
I always try to set a good example. Anytime you open your mouth, that lets people know who you are. So you should be mindful of the way you speak, what you say, because the moment you open your mouth, that's a reflection of who you are. And I always try to treat people with respect. Not everybody that you meet in life will remember you, but they will remember the way you made them feel. So I feel like that's very important. Always try to remember that. That's how I was raised.
One thing I would offer is that both these gentlemen and yourself, I'm sure you're going to have one in a minute too, so we'll hear yours as well. But something I would say that I love that's always sets a good example for me is the fact when other people are willing to share their culture and how they grew up and the things that they believe in, and they share that with me and I learn about them. And it puts me in a place where I think I'm just a better person in the world. And I think for me, that is super important. And that's one thing I would do to set an example.
Yeah, definitely having those role models that we can learn from is important. And, you know, that our actions follow suit with our words and words with our actions. So we've got a few more interesting facts today. Abraham Lincoln signed the National Currency Act that established a single national U.S. currency. They were called back then greenbacks, which is interesting. Everyone wants a little greenback in their pocket. It's always good to have some money to go around, and maybe you've got to pay for someone that you're inviting, right? You want to be able to have that BD in your pocket as you invite people out. Maybe you're going to invite to Ramadan or to a meal, one of those special meals this season that's coming up. Before we head out, is there any final thoughts, things that you want to share with our listeners here this morning?
I think it's just great that we had this opportunity. I'm looking forward to what next month will bring, and looking forward to experiencing the culture here in Bahrain. Thank you, Dr. Afifi, for teaching us that and showing us. Wantu, thanks for coming and for helping us kind of work through this. And for DJ, always great. So phenomenal work. And with that, I just wish everybody the best week, and do well, and I'll see you out there. Have a great day.